Hi, my name is Claudia Porto. I'm a senior at Central Catholic High School, and I play soccer and basketball. I started the Lead 'Em Up program my freshman year on the basketball team, and I've been doing it for the past 4 years. It's had a major impact on the way our team played and connected with each other, not only on, but also off the court. And I honestly believe that each year we truly achieved what it meant to be a green team. Not to mention it helped us make it into playoffs each year. We really focused on what it meant to be green and made it a big deal for every game, practice, film, or really anything else we did. But for me, Lead 'Em Up helped me build the confidence I needed and helped me grow into the leader I always knew I could be. It was a goal of mine to get my entire team into the green, which meant bringing the energy, calling people out if I needed to, and just making each and every player, especially the role players, feel like they had a purpose on the team.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
We're so thankful for you joining us today and listening into today's Lead 'Em Up podcast. And I'm excited to be joined by Coach Moga. Coach Moga is the head girls basketball coach in Houston, Minnesota, not to be confused with Houston, Texas. There is a Houston, Minnesota, Houston High School. Coach has been the head coach there of the girls program for 5 years. And I love this story. And part of what kind of prompted me to say, Coach, we got to get you on the show is you took over a program that had 44 years, I'm guessing consecutive, of losing seasons, right? 44 years straight losing seasons. And over these last couple of years of you taking over the program, you've evolved and continued to grow and gain that momentum within your program where this past year you made it to the state tournament, which is a huge accomplishment for anyone in high school sports knows how much work it is even just to get to the state tournament. You made it to the state tournament. You all went 18-1. And for all intents and purposes, Coach, you all are no longer a quote-unquote losing program. You all are winning. And you're doing it in an incredible manner. And we've been able to connect because you are part of the Lead 'Em Up community using the Lead 'Em Up program. And that's how we got introduced. But I thought it could be so helpful, Coach, because there are coaches in your same position that have taken over programs where the kids may not believe. They may not think good could come to them, right? That the winning only belongs to those over there, right? Not to us, right? The success, it doesn't belong to us. We don't own that. You know, we don't know what that feels like. But you've changed it. So I want to go and kind of talk through your journey of how you've done that, because I think it could be helpful for coaches. Let's go back to year one. You take over a program with 44 years of straight losing, Coach. I mean, is it just clean house at that point? Because like everything that had been going on prior clearly wasn't working, that you just said, I'm going to completely revamp and do this major transformation. Did you approach it that way early on?
Right. For example, the year before I was actually the JV coach. So I was in the program a little bit to kind of see what was going on. Just a coach that loves the game of basketball, loves working with youth and kids. As a first year head coach, as I made that transition from JV to varsity head coach, my real plan was just to set something out. Let's develop standards. How are we going to, continue? And that's not about winning, about to continue to being successful, because our program sees success is, playing hard, showing up, giving in your all, and having no regrets at the end of the night and end of the day. If we can do that, if we go on 26, we go on 26. That's just the other team was a little bit better than us, even night. But if we do that, the wins are going to start to come. Okay. We're going to start winning. We're going to start connecting. We're going to start really, really believing in each other. And for all purposes, the girls, they had no reason to believe in us. To start day one, they had no reason to, to buy into our system. Just another head coach saying that we're going to do this, do that. The biggest challenge was and is developing relationships. I think everything goes back just to developing relationships with the kids, being there for them, whether it's basketball, anything else in life, school, anything like that.
So are you crediting the buy-in early on to the relationship?
Yeah. I'm giving, you know, the majority of all buy-in, all, you know, all our success is the development of relationships, you know, between coach to players. You know, that's their first buy-in. And now, you know, the last couple of years, we've really stressed the player to player buy-in and building those relationships.
You know, that's an interesting thought, right? Because I'm trying to put myself in the position of the players, and you kind of laid it out, right? Here's another coach saying, this is how we're going to do it. But if I'm a kid in that program, I think rinse and repeat. We're just going to keep losing 44 years in a row, right? I can only imagine how many coaches that they had over those 44 years, but to break through that, you almost have to go to the relationship. Right. Like that relationship has to be so strong to develop that true trust, to develop that like willingness to go along with it. Like if the relationship from the coach to player wasn't strong, and I'm trying to emphasize the word strong because there's different levels of relationship. I agree with you, coach. I think you approaching it from a relationship standpoint. And I love that you even kind of prioritized coach to player first, player to player second. Why coach to player first?
Coach to player first, just because they have to have that trust. The players have to have that trust in that coaching staff, that knowing that we're going to be there for them. If they need something, they can always ask. Okay. And, you know, if it's, you know, I live in town here, small town. I mean, Houston's, you know, under 1,000 with a population. So I live in town. If they want to come in and gym, you know, in the off season, get a workout, whether it's the weights, whether it's just coming and shoot, whether it's just to hang out, you know, with them and a couple of their friends. And so they have that, you know, place to go, someplace to do something. We're there. Whether it's myself as a coach or, you know, one of the assistant coaches, we'll pop in the gym if we're available, if we're in town, and just, hey, yep, go have fun. Do what you got to do.
So what have you found though, coach, is been the most helpful, the most effective way for you to build that relationship with your player? You know, if I'm a coach saying like, okay, all right, got it. I'm taking notes, build relationships with players. Okay.
So it really started. And this will actually go back to, you know, previous podcast with Chick-fil-A and their owner and manager. Cause when I was listening to that, I'm like, gosh, we did that year one. And it comes down, I personally know these girls. I know their birthday. I know their favorite candy bar, their favorite snack or whatever. So, you know, the easiest way for that is like, I know it. They're more of just a player to me. They are part of my, you know, family. So I do know their birthdays. So on their birthdays, they get a candy bar and a Gatorade. Mm-hmm. A card saying, hey, happy birthday. Hope it's a great day. You know, something like that. Because we invest in the person and not the player. So that's the, like the main thing. So if you could find something like that, just something little, just knowing their birthday. No, I mean, I could tell you some of the players' favorite colors, you know, kind of what they want to do, you know, what their interests in outside of basketball. We currently have a girl that loves to barrel race. She's a barrel racer on horses. We have a handful of girls in 4-H that show pigs, you know, livestock, and they're just really invested and interested in that. So just showing interest in their interests, it's going to go a long ways. And, you know, develop that relationship that's going to last more than the 4 years that they're in the basketball program.
Coach, man, I'm eating up everything you're saying now, coach, because I'm with you. I love the fact that you referenced the term little, but let's not pretend little does not mean little impact or little effectiveness. Oftentimes it is those little things that make the biggest impact, that make the biggest kind of bridge in the relationship. I agree. You know, I think most coaches get the big things right. Right? Like, you know, like it, but the great coaches have gone to the level of the little things, and that's what separates them, to your point, knowing their birthday and not just knowing it, but actually celebrating it, right? Knowing little things about them and then remembering that and coming back to that, okay? Like, you know, what we often talk about, like, if I learned of their you know, favorite candy, that's a gold mine. We reference this phrase gold mine and lead them up. Why is it a gold mine? It's something I learned about them. It's a gold mine because it's valuable. It's valuable information. But just simply recognizing the value and leaving it there doesn't do any good. It's when you invest it, you can make the relationship richer. So you take that little gold mine, that piece of valuable information about someone, then when you choose to invest it, it grows, makes that relationship richer. And that oftentimes comes from the little things. So I'm so glad that you kind of emphasized that, because in my experience, that is the difference maker as well. You know, that all of a sudden, you know, you could touch on those little things and kind of lean into those little things. And now you've got a player that's like, wow, coach really cares. And now they're going to amplify their engagement. They're going to increase their attention. They're going to give a little bit more. And most people overlook that stuff, coach. They don't, mm-hmm. They think that's just irrelevant. Like, they don't think that really moves the needle.
Right.
Which you're living proof that it does move the needle.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was that was one of the biggest things that I think our program, you know, put together and started to really believe in, and we've been doing it ever since. So we've been doing it 5 now, going on 6 years. Rather than the player.
Yeah, and coach, so you started building these relationships, and you'd mentioned it was, I guess, after a year or two of you coaching. Correct me if I'm wrong. Because I asked you earlier, how did you kind of get connected to Lead 'Em Up? And you said it was around the second or third year, sometime around that. So at some point, let's talk about that, because you started building some momentum. You started establishing this trust. Were you any good wins and losses your first year?
First year, no, not at all, to be honest. We were about 9-16. We played all right here and there. I think we lost some games that we probably should have won. But you know, end of January of that first year, we really turned a page where we really, well, that's almost kind of where we really put the emphasis on, you know, trying to get our players to buy in to each other, or really trying to get them to, you know, show that investment in chemistry and relationships with each other, that, you know, we're going to be good and we're going to win games, but we're never going to meet our max potential, you know, hit that max potential until we actually have relationships with each other as players, that we truly need to just love each other. And until that happens, when we will be 500, around 500, a little bit over 500, you know, maybe even win a conference championship here or there. But until we truly love one another as sisters, it's just not going to happen.
So what were you all holding on to from a momentum sake after that first year? Like what in there that year generated the momentum that carried you over?
The momentum from that really carried us over would be just, you know, talking about it. I mean, honestly, just having I would consider them crucial conversations, talking to each other, you know, really helping each other out when we're down, or we're building each other up. There are no put downs or put ups. Okay. You know, we really don't want to have a breakdown. We want to just build each other up. And how are we going to find that? A few things that we did was just, you know, kind of partnered each other up with people that are not their best friends. You know, sometimes they'll just have best friends and do everything with their best friends. We want to try to just, you know, cross-reference like an older player with a younger player, and help those older players just teach our way, teach our culture. This is how things are done here. And that just naturally is going to build relationships with each other. You know, if you're there with them, you know, an hour of those 2 hours of practice, they're going to show them the way. So maybe when, you know, when they're younger, you know, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, they're, you know, playing at the lower level, that it's okay to do stuff different ways. But when we get to that high school gym, there's even a, you know, better way to do stuff. And that's just, yeah. Hey, we don't jog from drill to drill, or we don't walk from drill to drill. We never walk in the basketball court. And that's just a standard. And our older girls can teach that to our younger girls. Because if we walk in the basketball court in practice, there's going to be times where we're going to do that in a game. And it's going to almost look like we've given up and we've quit. So it's just kind of a mental standard and, you know, standpoint. This is how we do things. And with our older girls, you know, we'll teach our younger girls. I mean, they're the teachers, they're the leaders, where the coaches don't have to do it. And, you know, like player-led teams are going to reach better potential and maximize their potential than coach-led teams.
Yeah, well said. So 9-16 your first year. Where did the record shake out to be in year two?
Year two, we actually went 22-5.
22-5?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
We went 22-5, but we lost our first round playoff game at home. A team that we didn't play during the season. And that actually really frustrated me just because we really didn't compete. The stage was a little bit too big for us. And we were trying to dissect why. Were they really that much better than us, the other team? Or is there something that we need to change as a program, as a culture? How do we get, whether it's mentally tougher, but in reality, it's not even mentally tougher. It's do we have each other's back? When times get tough, are we going to pick each other up or are we just going to fold the cards and walk away? And so that's where we really got trying to get the players building with each other, getting everyone to buy in that player-to-player relationship. That got better as we went on. Year three, we were 16-8, roughly. But we did play a little bit tougher schedule. We were playing 2A. So we're 1A in Minnesota. We are small class, 1A and small orthopedics. But we were playing some 2As and 3As. We got to challenge ourselves to get there. Then we were year three, 21-7. Again, lost in the quarterfinals in the last year, 18-1.
So all right, a couple things. One, were you surprised at how quickly the success came in year two?
Yes, I actually was incredibly surprised. You go through your schedule and there's we could win these games but we could not win these games against these bigger schools, some 2As and 3As. But we ended up start beating those schools. We were surprised that we were, already competing and winning those games. Maybe we got too good, a little too fast. That could be part of it, that we didn't really make a growth from year two to year three as much. Maybe a little complacent, maybe as coaching staff, as players. But, the last few years, we really just try to challenge ourselves that we got to keep growing. We got to keep getting better at stuff on the court and off the court.
So speaking of off the court, you had mentioned prior to us recording here that – it was around the third year mark that you began kind of seeking, some type of leadership program. You felt like that was something that needed to be included, kind of more of a formal program, a curriculum of sorts, that you wanted to have that included into the program. I want to ask you first, what prompted that? Okay, so every year, coaches go through these evaluations in their head. Sometimes they write it down. Sometimes it's a collection of conversations with other coaches. They always do a debrief or some type of evaluation of the previous season and then obviously look to see what ways are we going to improve. What was it, coach, at that point that's kind of prompted you, said, I need to begin searching? Because I asked you how you found Lead 'Em Up. You said you simply Googled it, which tells me you weren't necessarily looking for Lead 'Em Up. You were just looking for a leadership program in general. Okay. We just happened to be the one you landed on. But what prompted you to do that, right? What was the cause?
Right. I mean, we were winning games, so it definitely wasn't that. I don't think we were meeting our max potential. And some of it is a little bit that our team chemistry wasn't great. And I thought our team chemistry could, improve, and which would end up ultimately, I think wins take care of itself if everyone's got each other's back and are going to help each other out. And her chemistry is just great. The girl next to you is never going to give up right next to you. I mean, she's going to keep going. She's going to pick you up. You have a bad day, she's going to pick you up. We didn't exactly have that all the time. I mean, maybe in spurts in the season, a week or two here. But how could we really develop that? And also, just me personally, I read a lot of books, business books, leadership books, coaching books, stuff that, just to keep me growing and, keep challenging myself. And a lot of it's just, leadership, developing people, developing players. And I really wanted to find something that, I truly believed in, which would really help us, get to that next level. And I popped up and, searching through some I liked, some I didn't, ended up, you know, Landon and I leading up, and like this looks great. This is what this I think what a really true leader lead them up on leadership program looks like. So we started instilling that into our program. You know, practices daily, and we've even now extended that. You know, this last fall with the captain's course. So we actually invite all our juniors and, you know, seniors right now to come to that captain's course. We just call it our leadership course, you know, to get them in there and, you know, go through those lessons. But I really want to just, you know, I want to be able to tell our players. So one of our standards now is like for our players to be legendary. When you leave the program, we want you to be legendary, and it has absolutely nothing to do with wins. For us, for them to be legendary, we want them, when they graduate, but the underclassmen coming back miss them because they're not there. Instead of seniors graduating, another underclassman saying, I'm glad she's gone. So it's the exact opposite. We want them to have such a great impact and be such great people that they miss them because they're not there anymore at practice and games and being part of that journey.
Hello. This is Kevin Williams from Chick-fil-A and author of Irrational Kindness, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. You don't have to try and create the perfect life to have an amazing story. Simply start with a solid direction you want to head, followed by hundreds of course corrections as you march on your journey. One way that helps me do this is to bookend my days. This helps guide me, reading at the end of the day something positive that fills my mind with the thoughts that give rest and reflection. It can be a short devotion or article that rests the soul. In the morning, begin by journaling and creating some space to reflect. Margin to imagine the day. Write those down. It will help keep crafting your destination, those important course corrections, or simply the next sprint race as you write your story. Bring patience, persistence, and courage to allow this space and permission for discovery. Now, let's jump back to the episode.
You know, a couple of little notes that I was taking as you were talking, you know, you felt this, we're good, but we're not reaching our full potential. Okay. There's another level inside of us. You know, I wrote down this notion of going from good to great, right? 22-5 is really, really good. Most coaches would be really excited about that. Most coaches would also say, what I'm doing is working. Look at the transformation from year one to year two. And they would just keep trying to do it. I remember Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills, after they won this past football season, you know, they played the Kansas City Chiefs, went head to head with the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, really close to reaching their, you know, that the Super Bowl and getting to that level. And he essentially went back in the press conference and said, we got to go back to the drawing board completely. Right. He didn't say that exactly, but he essentially said, like, you know, like, we're not just going to sit here and think we just keep doing what we're doing. Like, we got to get better. And that's essentially what you kind of looked at. Like, yeah, we're good, but we got to get better. And, you know, I bring that up because I really find that a lot of times the leadership program. Here's the deal, coach. Most coaches that come to the Lead 'Em Up program, they come when their team is down. They come when their team is in dysfunction. They come when their team is struggling and like really challenged from a leadership standpoint. They come to the Lead 'Em Up program. They say, I need to incorporate something like this into my team, right? We need this, man. You know, I've got this. I love hearing stories like yours where you have something good, right? And there's momentum there. And then you choose to lean into it and take what's good and make it legendary. You make it great. And I don't think enough coaches are doing that. They think good means like, I'm just going to keep going. A few more breaks, a few more lucky bounces in our direction. We'll be where, you know, no, there could be major growth potential in your program as you sit right now with a winning record. And you're living proof of that.
Yeah. We just, you know, me personally and our coaching staff overall, we saw good things happening, but we really wanted to go next level. We really just want these people, these girls that graduate, to be legendary in their communities after high school, being great people, being great leaders in community. So I see it as my job as a head coach is to invest in them so they have a better future than what came before them. Like, we want them to have the best future possible. So I think it's one of my jobs to give them the tools and resources to be leaders, whether, it's, being the nurse, being a director of nurses, being a CEO in a company, or just, any employee that's going to be working with people. If you work with people, you need to somehow be a leader, because you're going to have to manage those relationships. And I think it all comes back to those relationships.
And coach, props to you, right? If you're going to ask them to be legendary, you better support them in their process of being legendary, right? Mm-hmm. So often we want our players to be certain things, but we're not necessarily doing the things that would help build them up. And one of my old co-hosts of the Hardwood Hustle would always say, our players do the best with what they know, right? So you want them to be legendary. Do they even know how to be legendary? Probably not, unless you teach them, okay? So, like, it is up to you. All right, so let me ask you, though, the teaching process, helping giving them the tools. What does the non-basketball development, the leadership, character, captain, culture, all those different phrases, what does that development look like from a time standpoint, from a scheduling standpoint, just within your program?
Yeah, so right now, in the fall, we'll meet once a week with some of our upperclassmen that can make it. It's about 40 minutes once a week. We meet Monday mornings, talk about different topics. And last week we came up with our green team standards that we want to use for the 21-22 season. So we got that. Then, in the season, because that's where we're probably most likely to fall off is in season, when we got to prep for this game. We got to get ready for this next game as we're going through that. But we tie it in as much as possible every day, whether it's 15 minutes going over this life lesson, or we see something that we don't like. It's you can kind of read the room, and you just don't like what's going on as a coaching staff, that we try to address that before it becomes a big issue or a bigger issue. So 15 minutes before practice, 15 minutes after practice. So we're looking at probably another 30 minutes a day. Each day that we have practices, and we tie it in even to our pregame speech a little bit, kind of review what we've learned, how we are going to stick together, move forward, and handle adversity in a positive way, just being resilient. Like a lot of people say that character will, sports teach character, but truly it only reveals the character, and we are who we are when the times are at our worst. So just being resilient and just being positive, pulling each other up. So, again, it's time-wise, 40 minutes a week, outside the season, 30 minutes daily kind of during the season.
So coach, I want to ask you, I'm saying this a little sarcastically, okay, a little facetiously, how are you able to find time when I hear all these other coaches around the country who say, I just don't have the time? What is your thought process on the time? Okay. Like, you somehow figured it out, but others can't figure it out. Why can't they figure out how to make the time versus someone like you figuring it out?
I don't want to speak on behalf of anyone else. Me personally, I just make it a priority. It's just got to be a high priority. Just lay out the week. If we got 4 days of practice and only one game that week, we're going to get a little bit more time spent on our leadership and our character building. And then just map up the week. So on the weekends, I'll map up the whole week. So, we're going to hit these topics as much as possible. Read team culture, chemistry, what's going on, and then maybe add something in or take something out and substitute it for something else. So it's just really got to be a priority. It's got to be a top priority overall. And then there's just buy-in, because to be honest, we aren't where we are right now without it this last couple of years. Especially last year, team chemistry overall really gelled fairly well for the most part, and as best as it really can. I mean, there's always going to be something that's going to pop up. And this, you're not living, it's not all sunshines and rainbows and with ice cream on top and any of that. But you have to have those relationships so you can have those crucial conversations to bring everyone back together. Yeah. And they just got to believe it and do it.
But it goes back to the leaders. Well said. Yeah, well said. And I agree, you know, it's got to be a top priority, you know, and if it's not the priority, it will get bumped. And it does get bumped, mm-hmm. right, by most coaches. And, you know, for you, let me ask you, you know, you said last year really made a difference. I think that's one thing coaches always struggle when it comes to leadership and character development is how do you tangibly see the difference? Because, you know, I can tell, I can spend days working on our 3-point shot and see improvement and actually can tell you the numbers that will show the improvement. How, to the best of your ability, how do you take something like our growth as a culture or chemistry and actually quantify that? How would you best describe that to a coach to say, no, this is how I know it had an impact, or this is how I could see it making a difference on our team?
Two ways. One, just from my own perspective as a coach, I didn't have to bring the girls together and repeatedly tell them we have to stick together. I probably only said it once. Like, we need to be better at being better teammates. We didn't have to say that a whole lot at all, really, last year. In the previous years, I mean, that's like a weekly theme. Okay. And we're still winning games, I personally and our coaching staff didn't want that winning to, you know, overshadow some of our defaults in our program or some of our areas of improvement. And winning can easily do that, I think. We're winning, we're fine. But if we don't stop that, you know, negativity and bad chemistry that's going on, I think the losing is going to take over. And then I'm not sure we can build it back up and get it right back on track. So previous years, you know, it was like kind of a weekly theme. Hey, and, you know, different aspects. And it's not the same person. It's different people every, you know, each week. It's something different that's going on, whether it's family life issues and that they bring it to the team or anything like that. It's not always, you know, player number one versus player number two getting after it. I mean, it's different issues that are evolving. Everyone's got a different background. Everyone's got different circumstances that they live in, which could, you know, negatively affect the team and the team chemistry. But last year was, the best, where we didn't have to repeatedly do it all the time. So that's where that leadership. And the last year was our first year really, really diving into it, as a team concept in season. So that's one of the main things. And if I could, this is coming from a player. She sent me a text last year. If I could read that text, and this is what truly means to, you know, take that next level and you really have that relationship. So if I could read that, I'm not going to say her name or at all.
Yeah, go for it.
But this is after the season and after that, our one loss of the season, at the state playoff game. So the individual says, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything this season. No one deserves a coach as amazing as you are. There's never been a day that you have doubted me or anyone else on the team, and we all take those feelings and thrive. There are no words to describe how much of a difference you have made in my life. You really don't know. I mean, I was ready to quit basketball this season, but you made me keep pushing through, and I personally believe that I have grown so much this season as a player and as a human. I know I still have 2 years left, but I really thank you for how much of an impact you've had on me. The season brought us incredible milestone, and it breaks my heart knowing that the team couldn't finish the job for you. You put in so much time and effort into us, and I just wish I could give that all back to you in return with a state win. I feel disappointed in myself that I let you down. I promise you I'll work as hard as possible this summer and be a whole new player. You sparked something in me this season. Thank you for everything.
I mean, that's, first of all, it's emotional hearing and reading something like that, you know? And I mean, that is so incredible, you know, like, yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I know you didn't read that to like bring praise to you, but I would certainly want to praise you on that, right? For the environment you're creating. But from a coaching standpoint, isn't that what we want from our players, right? We want that commitment. We want that buy-in. And there's so many things that you just kind of – that I pull out from that text. I think about your – like you said in the beginning, your relationship from coach to player, mm-hmm. right? She alluded to that many times. you know, we're talking about having each other's back. She has your back, right? Like you want our play, we want our players to have our back and vice versa, right? To create that type of environment. And the reality is better people make better athletes. That individual is a better person because of the program, because of you. And as a result, is going to give you more than you could ever imagine from a player, you know, in light of that, going to give you everything she has. I mean, and that's what we want from coaches. So, you know, I appreciate you sharing that so much, Coach. I really do, you know, because I think that that does provide a snapshot in a really cool way of like when we build the type of environment, and you just reminder for coaches, you build the environment by building the people. Okay.
Right.
Because then the people build the environment. Okay. So when we talk about building culture, chemistry, environment, whatever, it's about building the people. When you build the people, it produces people like that, that send messages like that, that care like that, that believe and work like that. So, you know, okay, you want proof? Those are the types of examples of the proof of the results of the hard work. So, Coach, you know, this was incredible. This was extremely encouraging for me. You know, I love that you threw in there that you talked about like sometimes winning, not always telling the full story. You know, sometimes you can be winning, but still know there's issues. And mm-hmm. I always say, and I wrote a little note here, winning is the ultimate deceiver. It often tells us we're better and healthier than we sometimes are.
Right.
Right. And I think sometimes coaches, oh, we're winning, right? No, but listen, there's major issues. So the moment you hit a little hiccup in the road, it's going to come to fruition and you're not going to like what's going to happen. You better address it now. So, but Coach, you know, I'm so glad we're able to connect on this. I love your approach to what you're doing up there in Minnesota. Congratulations on the success. Congratulations on just turning the program around. 44 years of losing. And now, I mean, for the last four seasons, you've had winning records. You reached the furthest the team has ever gone. And, you know, it just reiterates what I believe, right? That when you build the people will build an incredible team, environment, you name it, right? So thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for being vulnerable and kind of reading some of that stuff. Anything you want to add before we wrap up here?
Just, you know, advice to any coaches. It's not easy work, but it can easily be done. As in just being available, refuse to be outworked, and love your people. Love your staff, love your players. Those are the kind of the three standards that I try to live by each day is, yep, I'm gonna be available. If they need something, we're available as a family. Refuse to be outworked, on the court, off the court, showing up, doing the things, making myself a better coach as I ask them to be better players. And then, you know, just love. Just love. And we talk about that a lot. And I don't know if it's always out there on that four letter word love, you know, in today's world, but we talk about that quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So do I. I like it, Coach. Coach, what's your Twitter handle so people can follow?
It's just DR Hurricanes girls basketball.
Hold on. Is it DR Hurricanes girls basketball?
Yep.
All of that is your Twitter handle?
Yeah.
That is it. Is that officially the longest Twitter handle in the history of Twitter?
It might be.
All right. We'll certainly share it on our page, but I just want to be able to give people access. And Coach Moga, Dale Moga, in case you're Googling the success of Coach. Hey, you know, I appreciate you so much, Coach. I'm glad we're able to connect and record this. And I hope coaches found a lot of value in it. So I appreciate you so much.
All right. Thank you. And honor to be on the podcast, Doc. Really enjoy it.
Awesome. Our pleasure. Till next time, I'm Adam on behalf of the Lead 'Em Up team. This is the Lead 'Em Up podcast. We will catch you later.
Hey, before you go, we want to take a minute and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for sponsoring our podcast. Chick-fil-A is not only a place where you can go get a warm meal served with superb hospitality, but it's a place committed to caring for its communities and developing young people. That is part of the reason why we're so excited to have Chick-fil-A on board with us. It's because we share that vision of developing young people and developing people in general into the leaders they can become. So I want to encourage you to go support your local Chick-fil-A And remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. Hey, we appreciate you listening. Until next time, have fun and lead them up.